morning. I just want to also encourage you, just say thanks to Teresa and Dan for the little welcome area in the back for guests. I hope if you're visiting, you've been welcome there, but there's some special treats and coffee just for visitors back in the corner. So if you want to take advantage of that, I remember back in the days in South Africa, they had a long tablecloth over the visitor's table and some really nice treats. And I don't want to mention any names, but Matthew and his friends used to hide under that table. They liked to grab the ankles of the visitors and scare them, and they liked to reach up and get the good cake. So we didn't put the tablecloth very long on that table, so there's nowhere to hide. Yeah, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. It's good to be thankful. R.T. Kendall used to say, our sanctification and is synonymous with our gratefulness. The more we understand what God is doing in our lives and how He's working in us, just as we heard this morning, even through the hard things, we are just grateful to God that He loves us, He's working in us, and He never leaves us alone. And He loves us so much that He will not leave us alone and where we're at, and He'll keep working and keep stirring. And so I thank Him for His faithfulness. His love endures forever. Amen? So please turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 15. You can put that verse up. We're going to read verses 4 to 11. I'm talking about to be like Jesus. You know, we start a new series talking about the rhythms, finding new rhythms, trying to understand what it means to really follow Christ, be like Him, and hopefully be able to do some of the things that He did. And my style is I want to get right to the 9 points of what Jesus did and let's get busy doing it. But it's like God has been forcing us over these last weeks to just say, no, let's listen to what God is saying, our conference, and I shared last week some of the things, and just waiting on Him, and even this morning, just to let God come by His Holy Spirit and to pray. Pray that spirit of evangelism would come upon us more and more. And I thank God for the prayers and those who prayed for me today. And if you're facing something that seems hopeless, just to be able to say, nothing is hopeless with God. He is in control. He is working. Many times we don't see it, we don't get it, but we can be thankful to God for everything, knowing that we can trust Him with our lives. And even when things don't seem, it's just like, so many situations I've been in, even in the last while, and you just say, all I know is I know God is good, and I trust Him, and we will get through, and you will get through, and I will get through, and He's faithful to all the things that He's promised. And so as we've been going through, today I want to talk about to be like Jesus, to what does that mean? You know, being with Him and to be like Him. How do we do that? Like, what's that going to look like? And then, as I said, eventually we're going to get to doing some of the things that Jesus did, hopefully. But it comes out of what I'm going to share this morning, and they're not all original thoughts, but they're good thoughts, and I've been wrestling through some of them, and I pray that God would speak through His Word today. So let's read together. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from Me you can do nothing. Next slide. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. That's not good. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, My Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be My disciples. As the Father has loved Me, so have I loved you. Abide in My love. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Amen? May God add blessing and bless His holy, infallible word. I appreciate that screen because, you know, like not like some who are afraid to wear their reading glasses, I'm not afraid. I even have large print Bible, but it's still nice when it's, no, not on that one. That you're messing with me now. That was my slide. I appreciate you putting the scripture up there like that. There's nothing wrong with my eyes. It's just quite dim in here, and the lights are dim. Just like my ears. You guys are mumbling all the time. But I can really hear that tinnitus really good. Does that mean anything? Is that a sign of life? Oh, praise God. We are thankful in all circumstances. And thank Him for His blessing. I'm thankful to be in church. Selma couldn't make it this morning. You know, if you know Lori's mother, generations she comes from, full of the Spirit, loving God, sold out to Jesus. And when I hear her mom on the phone talking to Lori in the background, and I hear her voice, hey, I'm getting emotional this morning, hear her voice breaking, she's battles to just take her clothes off and go to bed. And they have got nursing help and so on. But I know how she would love to be here this morning. And so I'm thankful. Is that okay? Thankful to be in church. And Pete, when you're sharing about your friend, this isn't in my sermon, this is for free, but may we burn with the passion to share Jesus with our friends and our loved ones. May as a church, we never be ashamed of the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be saved but through Jesus, through His name. And I know that's in a society, in the world we live in today, that's in your face. We say, this is the Word of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, He said. But we cannot back off from preaching, from sharing the truth. And then I appreciate, Pete, as you're sharing, this and different ones testifying here this morning about their loved ones. May there just be a tear in our eye when we talk about it. You know the old sermons, the guy, both are preaching on hell, but one, when he's talking about it, he's got tears in his eyes talking about hell and where people are headed. May we be those who are just compassionate, but passionate about the truth and about sharing Jesus. Amen? And so I thank you for your prayers this morning. I think it was Maya and Russell who prayed for me this morning, but just, yeah, it's not our job to save, but it is our job to witness, to testify, to speak. And even as a pastor in front of a church, I'm dressed like an evangelist this morning. Someone said I'm like John Travolta. Hey, staying alive. You're showing your age, Paul, when you say that. Some people don't even know who he is, but I get you. Like, we're young and hip, and that was 50 years ago, but it's okay. Now, where's my sermon? But may we have the heart of Jesus. May we be like Jesus. That's where we're going this morning. You can put up the third slide. So I just wanted to quickly kind of reiterate, and I'm doing nothing quickly, so Lord help me to do it quickly. But we've been asking over the last while, a few weeks ago, and through the, you maybe don't recognize each question, but who am I following? The trick is we're all following someone. Whether you believe it or not, we're all following someone. It's a matter of who you're following, not if. The second one, who am I? Becoming. We are either intentionally becoming like Christ and understanding Him and His Word, or we are unintentionally being formed into the world and into fitting in and whatever. Who am I becoming? Am I becoming like Christ? Am I actively, I love that. How come we don't get any prizes for memorizing scriptures? Let's put some $20 bills up here. Like, I know a few. But am I working actively to become intentionally a follower of Jesus and to be like him. And then who or what am I going to believe? We all live by faith. Do you know that? We all live by faith. Lori shared it many times, people over the years, because we were living by faith. You know, people use that term because we were trusting generous people of God to support us in Africa. And if they didn't support, and we were praying many times and anointing our checkbooks and doing all the things that just God send somebody with $5 to, otherwise we can't even afford to get back to Canada. And his faithfulness. But we all live by faith. And she used to say, you know, to this church many, many times. Remember, we all live by faith. You need faith for your job, for your business, for your company, for life. So it's not, you know, some live by faith and some don't, but it's in faith in what and in who. We all have a theology. Some theology is just really bad, but we all have an understanding of God and who he is. So we've been talking about a new series, Resetting of Rhythms, Practicing the Way. I want to make some big statements. I feel like Billy Graham when I read some of these, but me and Billy were close. No, that's a lie. But I did go to some of his meetings. That's close, isn't it? Here's a couple of big statements. There is simply no better way, truth, or life to be found than that of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you believe that? Yeah. Sometimes we live like we don't. One of the young guys who was speaking at our MFI conference just last week, he was trying to encourage leaders, and I don't want to get into the whole background, but he said, you know, people don't like to hear it, but yeah, I believe in God about 51% of the time. He's like, there's a lot of stuff that challenges your brain and your questioning, but yeah, we trust God about 51% of the time. But it's like we have to get that to us, that there is no other better way of life than that of following Jesus. Another one, whether you are a new believer or a longtime Christian, there's a call to follow Jesus. It's not like we stepped into following him one day. We made a decision. We don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. Okay, sign the card. Finished. Done. Now we are safe from hell. No, there is a life that he's calling us to live. And to whether you're 10 or 75 this morning, 85, the call is to follow Jesus. And I prayed for a lot of seniors, and you can mock us seniors. I'm just going to put a word in for the seniors. You know, come on. We are called the Silver... No, we're called the... What? Silverados. That was the name. You remember the movie? That was... Okay, that's a long time ago. But they... Lori put a prayer request to the seniors. And this last... I can't even share all the blessings of it because you'll think I'm bragging. But we had some needs. We had some things. And... big ones. And I'm telling you, God used the seniors of this church, the Silverados, and blessed the pants off. I believe it was from the, because unless God spoke by the Holy Spirit to some of you others. And I love finances. Don't you? He met so many needs through this. I could take a long time, but I just want to bless the seniors of this church. One of them was we're driving away, and Lori sticks her hand in her pocket, and there was an envelope with some funds in there towards the new tires that we had asked prayer for the vehicle. And this is so that you'll be driving safe on the road, and God bless you with your new tires. And I've been checking my pockets this morning, but they say faith without hints is dead. But just how good God is, and why am I talking about the seniors? I don't know, but they were blessed. Oh, yeah. Doesn't matter what age you are. God is calling us to follow him. Jesus asks us to follow him. To make his practices, his rhythms, and his truths ours. We hope to make these clear over the next while as we dig into the life of Jesus. And so here we go. All right. Next slide. Number one. Jesus is smart. Do you believe that? it goes with that big, powerful statement I just made, that there is no other better way of life. Practice, understanding, view of the world, mindset. What term do you want me to use than that of Jesus? His ways are the best. Many don't believe it. Many Christians don't agree with him on matters of human flourishing. I like this statement. Rather believe the media, politicians, celebrities, pastors gone rogue, rather than Jesus or his disciples. Remember, Jesus is God. That should be a clue. Hey? When he says, this is the way, walk in it. This is how life is done. This is how salvation is done. This is how marriage is done. This is how family's done. This is the history of the world. This is the plan of God. There's probably some good stuff there. But I've said it many times, and this isn't critical of any of you. I'm in here with you. I don't think we really believe that many times. We always, like, here's how I'll put it. I always think, man, if I could just have a little more money, think how happy I'd be. You know what? My wife is my best preacher to me all the time. It's like, I don't think there's anybody in the world more blessed than I am. Has any better life than I have had to live. And I mean that. And of course, whatever, you can argue because your life is better. But I'm saying, and yet, how sad am I to not be thankful, to not rejoice in the blessing of God. And to not just, man, and there's those moments, and I'm getting better at it. Say amen, honey. Where you just sit and you, like, we always gave Selma a hard time because when she gets out of her prison there, no, the senior's home, but she just loves to see the crops or the trees. And, whoa, look at the trees. They're waving their hands. Marcy loves it when Mom talks about the trees all the time. She's always so thankful to hear about the trees. You don't know Marcy well if you believe that. But I understand it now. We're driving in this fall weather the last couple of days, and I feel like someone's like, the trees are clapping their hands. Look how blessed we are. How to be thankful to God. I'm thankful. R.T. Kendall is the one who said about our sanctification and our gratitudes. Synonymous. That's the more you understand what God's doing in your life, the more grateful you are. I'm thankful for, you know, everything in my life, and even if my face doesn't say it, honey, I'm so thankful to God. Jesus is the best rabbi. Amen? We don't believe it. I like that saying, May you live in the dust of your rabbi. I've read a couple different versions of it, but it simply means that you stay so close to him that the dust is settling on you, that we stay so close to Jesus that we start to look like him and act like him and be like him and maybe actually do some of the kinds of things that he did. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're praying for. You say, well, that's pretty basic Christianity. Yes! Because we try to make it so sophisticated and keep everybody so busy. And that's part of this whole challenge with the rhythms of the church and life groups and so on. You know, we're going to have less life groups, but we're trusting for more life out of them. And then the weeks that we don't, you fellowship, get together. It's the point is not to just keep everybody busy every night of the week. Although this week, it's every night of the week. But we promise, we're changing, we're getting better. But this Thursday, there's no life group. Ha-ha. But every leader is welcome to come to our leaders' night here at the church. Our guests are going to be there. That's not even included in the weekend that's coming, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But Thursday, we just have a leaders' meeting with them, and they want to just speak to us, and we ask them to speak into our church and to our leaders. So you're welcome to come if you see yourself in any kind of leader position. And I won't judge you. I'll probably keep a roll call, but I won't judge you if you're not there. No, but we just want to encourage one another as we walk with Jesus. And may the dust of your rabbi Jesus settle on you. May us being together in his presence set that Holy Spirit anointing settle on us. Next slide. What does it say? being an apprentice. When we talk about disciples, we should understand it as an apprenticeship. I like the little definitions down there. A disciple is a noun, not a verb. You either are one or you're not. You know, we like to use follower or believer or whatever, but we don't following someone. We use the term discipling. I'm discipling, but it's wrong. You're either a disciple or you're not. I understand what we mean by it. We're trying to teach and encourage and so on. But listen, either you're a disciple or you're not. You're either a follower or you're not. You're either a believer or you're not. Amen? Are you one? Are you an apprentice? Are you learning the ways of Jesus? Like, the reason we use that term is sometimes it helps to understand what we're actually talking about when we say discipleship, when we say about being a disciple, a follower, a believer, a person who's an apprentice learning the ways of Jesus. I like that picture. It helps me to understand no matter what age I am, no matter how long I've been in this business of following Jesus, that there's more for me, there's more, and we can just ask for more and walk in more and understand more. Even the word Christian has been hijacked. Has little to do with actually following or being an apprentice of Jesus these days. Very little to do with obeying Him. The word Christian has, most of the world doesn't connect with following Him, obeying Him, being like Him. We say those things, I say those things, you say those things, but do we understand it as actually apprenticing and learning His ways, taking on more and more and becoming more and more like Him? And we're going to get to the 9 practices of Jesus. I was saying to you, that's my style. I'd like to just get to the 9 things and this is what we're going to do and hallelujah, we're done. But I'm not falling into that. That's why I'm saying, if we don't start to understand what it means to walk with Jesus day by day, to abide in Him, I'm going to go back to my original verse in a minute. I'm getting there. We will miss it, and we'll just get busy. We'll be Christians. We'll come to church. We'll do some stuff. But to actually be an apprentice, how does Jesus think? How does Jesus live? How am I going to live this out in front of my neighbor, in front of my business, in front of the church? How do I look as a follower of Jesus? Is it looking better, or is it just looking tired? Is it just depleted? Is it just worn out? Am I just hanging on to the horns of the altar? And there's seasons when you are going through, trust me. And that's when I said it already, but when I hear Selma's voice crack in the phone, I'm like, oh God, have mercy. Encourage the seniors. Encourage those who are battling with health and life and loss of a spouse. And just, you think you got a hard life? Just wait 50 years. You think it's easy to have no hair? You'll see. Some of you already know what that's like. So it means to be a Christian has to. We have to understand it as someone who's actually obeying Jesus. Actually, you know, they only use that term Christian about 3 times in the Bible. We throw it around, it's Christian, everything's Christian. They used disciple, apprentice, hundreds of times, like many times in the New Testament, to actually be a follower, someone who is learning His ways and becoming. The reason they use the term Christian, little Christ, little Christians, is because they recognize, hey, that's what Christ did. But we just throw that term around, I'm a Christian, but okay. Let's see some of the proof. And I'm talking to this guy, okay? Not just to you, but I'm talking to you too, because I'm paid to do that. So don't quit paying me to do it. Okay. Next slide. Not converts to Christianity, apprentices to the kingdom of God. We're talking about a way of life. It's not on there, but actually, Acts 24, verse 14, Bible says they were followers of the way. So we're talking about a way of life. To be a follower of Jesus means to adopt my overall way of life, to experience the life I have to offer. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, come and abide with me. And I don't know if you even remember the verses that I read at the beginning, but in those few verses, Jesus says over like 10 times, abide in me. And I'll get there in a minute. But we're talking about a narrow way, a specific way to live. So when we get to the practices of Jesus over the next weeks, we're going to have our guests this weekend. Please come on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, they are investing, we are investing. And we believe in our families, we want the best. It started with Frank, you know, back after camp saying, hey, we want to bless your church. Can we send this couple? And I'm like, yes, please. And so that's what we're planning for this weekend. And we're trusting God that will have impact on everyone and the family, this family, the family of the church. We need to trust Him, to adopt His way of life. A very specific way to live. Always the minority who say to Jesus, who say yes to Him. That's just the way it is. Many will say they are Christian, but there's a narrow way. There is a way that's a way of life. And so before we get to the nine practices, I'm trying to stick to just what it means to actually walk and follow Jesus. So, next slide. Goal number one, be with Jesus and become like Him. Jesus, I don't know what's on there. Yeah, it is there. Simply called Him to walk alongside of Him, John chapter 1. We're sharing this at the life group. If I can put a plug in for the life group too. I'm trying to fit in everything this morning. But I love these verses. If you go read through them, not now, but he says to them, he invited them to come and see where he stayed. So there, here we are, the disciples of Jesus. Jesus himself, the best rabbi there is. All he does to John, he just says, hey, come and see where I'm staying. And John goes with them. And then it says, and they stayed with him. Oh, and they stayed and spent the day. Ha! I like that. And he called the 12 that they might be with him. That's Mark chapter 3. You can read it. It seems so simple. Like there wasn't like miracles flashing and lightning bolts. He says, hey, come and see where I stay. And they went with him. And they spent the day. And that was the beginning of this walk, this life of following Jesus. It took 3 years for them to get it, and even then, didn't really. But after the resurrection and after outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to get to, God willing, he brought back the truth. He revealed the truth of what it meant to follow Jesus. And that's where you and I live today. But it's still that simple. Hey, come, follow me. Come and see where I stay. Learn of me, my ways. Come. He said it to the rich young ruler. Oh, you lack one thing. I can see you're close to the kingdom of God. You lack one thing. Go sell everything you have and follow me. And you know the story. He went away sad. And Jesus never chased him down. It's your choice. That's as simple as that. And so when we talk about apprenticeship, Not to me. We are to find examples. We are to find leaders and trust God. We have good leaders in this house, life groups and women's groups and mom's groups and Sunday schools and men's and all the stuff. We have it. But it's to follow Jesus. If I say follow me, what I mean, like Paul, as I follow Christ, that's the only reason I would ever say follow me. As I follow Him. Because if you're not looking past that first dog sled, you know, the dog in the dog sled, the view isn't so good, the second dog. But if you look past, you see Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you are shocked. What the heck is he talking about? The view is always better to look past the leader, is what I'm trying to say, and see what it is we're following and why we're following and what we are following, who we are following. And so as the leaders of this church, you know, we always use all the examples over the years, but it's simply come and follow as we follow Jesus. He's the goal. He's the hope of the world. Follow us as we follow him. And I mean this like you wouldn't believe how much I mean this. And then outrun us. Make us chase you down as you follow Jesus. And that was a prophetic word over our daughter Nicole years ago. Back in the days when she was single, back in Bethesda days. Follow Jesus. Make those young men chase you. Don't change your life and, you know, to find some loser. Follow Christ hard. Run after him and let someone catch you on the path following Jesus. Amen? So if you're single here today, thank God, first of all. Woo! I should preach that one. We need to have Eric share about the disadvantages of marriage again. Be careful what you pray for. But follow Jesus. Go for him. Become like him. Here's the deal. There's no three-step formula or nine steps, because we're going to talk about nine practices of Jesus, God willing, over the next... I don't make any promises, actually. It's not a program, but a progression. By being with Jesus, gradually became like him. Gradually, they became like him. Gradually, when you follow him, when you abide in him, which is I'm trying to get to, what that looks like, is gradually, you actually start acting like him. And they started to do the kinds of things he did. As I said, for some it took years. So what does he mean when he says, abide in me and I in you? That should be the big title here this morning. What does it mean? And he says it 10 times just in that little passage. And he says, you can't bear fruit, you can do nothing, all these things. If you're not abiding in me, might as well burn the wood and all that stuff. Pruned if you do, pruned if you don't. All those verses, you know them. He says, follow me. And this is what it means. Make your home in my presence and never leave it. Not to become a monk or a nun. I like that thought. Because that's the first picture you have in your mind. You know, if I could just get away from everything, just get on a mountain somewhere and maybe I could block out everything. I could find, and there is a place, and we'll talk about solitude, but that's not what I'm talking about. It means to do what we are already doing and understanding that we are already abiding in something right now. We are already making our home somewhere right now. Do you have that quote? I think I got it. Next slide, is it up there? No more slides? What a lousy slide show this is. Here's the quote. I thought I made put this quote up there, but it's okay. It's me. All of us have a source we are rooted in, a kind of default setting we return to, an emotional home. It's where our minds go when they're not busy with tasks, where our feelings go when we need solace, where our bodies go when we have free time, and where our money goes after we pay the bills. Whatever we abide in determines the fruit of our lives for good or for ill. Amen? We all have that safe place, that home, that place we retire to, we go to in our thoughts and our emotions and our money and our lives. And I'm asking you, is it Jesus? Is it abiding in him? Are you making your home there? And it doesn't mean you just walk around all day, but Paul called it praying without ceasing. I got a few quotes of some of the old church fathers, but it talks about centering in. The Quakers used to call it centering in. Basically, what is the concrete foundation of your life? Where do you run when you're in trouble? Where do you look to for advice? Where do you get your strength from? Where does your joy come from? You know, if you go back to John's verses, he says that my joy may be full and your joy will be full. This isn't some hard religious thing. This is finding home in Jesus. And no matter what's going on, and I appreciate the testimony this morning, your challenges, your battles, you're going through the hardest things. I've seen, and again, sorry, I'm quoting, speaking about Selma so much. She's not here, so it's easier. But quite often she's asleep when I'm preaching, so it's a little tougher. No, don't tell her that. But it's true. But it's like, how many seniors have I met in my life that grow sweeter and sweeter as the days go by? That's the goal. Not to get sour and to get hurt and, oh, no, they go through stuff. I mean it when I say, you think you got tough times. Wait till you get old. You lose a loved one. You're on your own, your finances, your health, your mind, the enemy attacks. There's stuff going, your body quits. I won't even start on what's quitting. It's like, where do you run? Where do you find home? You go through hard things. You go through battles in your life. The challenge is to abide in Jesus, to make your home there and never leave. Not 1 week we're here, next week we're there. And, oh, God, where are you? No, God, I know you're working. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I sit with people. I can't even answer them. But I can say, you know what? God is good. And I've used that example of Tanzania 1,000 times because it takes it away from this room and makes it further away. But if I couldn't look in the face of a young Tanzanian mom who's just lost her husband to AIDS, and she has AIDS, and she's got 6 kids, and she's crying at an altar, and I can tell you I've seen hundreds of them, if I couldn't take her by the face and say, God is a good father, he knows what he's doing, trust him. If I couldn't say that, I would quit preaching. But that's the only hope we have, to be able to tell people, listen, Jesus is the answer. Make your home there. Go there. You got finance problems? Go there. You have extra funds? Go there. Quit living like a knucklehead and run to Jesus. There's good theology there. If we're rooted in the inner life of God, which means the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this relationships that's going on, that will also form us. It will slowly grow the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Where is your emotional home? Where is your mental home? What do you return to in the quiet moments? Where do you go to find peace and joy? What would it look like for you to make your home in God? Those are good questions. What would it look like if we found our home in Jesus every day and never left and trusted him and walked in that and lived that out in front of the world? What would that look like? Again, it's not a monastery. It's not going up in the mountains and getting away from everybody. It's while you're eating breakfast. It's in your car on your way to work. It's changing another diaper and being with Jesus, cooking dinner for your family and the rest, and rest in your heart in Jesus, knowing God's in control. The way I've said it many times is seasons of life. I love when, you know, we're in the church and God's moving and we're seeing stuff happen and meetings, and I could tell you so many good stories, but just to know God's in control. When I'm alone, when I'm at rest, when I'm by myself, and you just got a joy in your life. It's like I was saying, I understand about the beauty of the trees, driving along, thinking, even Thanksgiving, I said it to my kids here. We were sitting over here, as you heard, not by plan. I don't know how many more Thanksgivings we'll be together. Someone won't be here, someone will move, whatever, you don't know. To just be thankful in those moments. It's actually about turning your body into a temple, a place of overlap between heaven and earth. Jesus called this way of life abiding. Let me quote these guys. Paul called it prayer without ceasing. The Quakers called it centering down, as if abiding was getting in touch with the bedrock of reality. A.W. Tozer called it habitual conscious communion. At the heart of Christian message, our message is God Himself waiting for His children to push into His presence. Hallelujah. You can have as much of God as you want. You can have as much of His presence, much of the fullness of life and joy in Him as we want. And yet so many times we resist. So that's number one. Second, and this is where I'm going to end. This is the second of my conclusions. First of all, abide, he said. And on the night when he was leaving, this is when he's preaching these things and praying these things, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, another advocate, a paraclete, someone who comes alongside, who will come and counsel, an advocate, an intercessor is what it means. And this is central to how we will actually do what Jesus did. So before we run to the 9 practices of Jesus, I'm saying to be like Jesus, to be with Him and to be like Him, we need to wrestle through that. We need to fight for that. And the way we can do that, Jesus says, I will send another advocate. I will send my Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we are invited by God to enter into a personal relationship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why we say Christianity is not a religion, but a person, a relationship. So where do I go with this? We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to know He is with us. When we talk about the anointing, most of our minds will go back to, well, that was a very anointed song. That person was anointed. Something felt good. It was anointed church service. But actually, when Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach good news. You know that verse? He's quoting out of the Old Testament. He stands up in front of the temple and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to do this and this and this. What he means by anointing is that when the Spirit of God comes on us, on him, whoever, is that then you move into the practices of the Father. You move into, he's no longer the son of Mary and Joseph and his brothers. He is now anointed to do what God has called him to do. Does that make sense? The anointing is to step into the purposes and plans of God for your life. More than just a good song or a good feeling or a good service. And there's nothing wrong with all of those. And if we use that term, wow, I felt the anointing, that's okay. But when we say you are anointed of God, and that's what he's saying, if you will abide in him, he promises to put his Holy Spirit in us. He promises to pour his Spirit into our lives. What it means is that you will be ready to do what God has intended for your life to do. You will walk that out. Someone who's anointed of God is fulfilling what God's called them to do. Does that make sense? So whether you're a mother and there's seasons of life, or a preacher in front of a crowd, or a life group, or at work, or whatever, the anointing is that authority, that power, the equipping of God to be actually doing and being who God's called you to be. And a church that's anointed is a church that's fulfilling what God's called the church to be. And so that goes back to Pete's preach a while ago about our purpose, our vision of this community, of the Word and Spirit and life, and changing communities here first and in Edmonton and wherever in the world God allows us. That is the anointing of the Spirit. And so you need it. I need it. To be able to do what God wants us to do, we need to abide in Him. We need to spend time with Him. We need to hear the Spirit of God. We need to make our home there. So that when we start down this path of doing the things of God, it's not just doing, it's being, human being. You know, you've heard those sermons. We're not human doers, we're human beings. But as we are with Christ, as we are living out the plans and purposes for our lives, abiding in Him, I'm in this sweet spot Whatever term works for you, use a term that works for you. What it means to make your home in Jesus, where you go with your thoughts and your hearts and your money and your life. But you make your home there, you start, without even having to work at it, you start fulfilling the plans and purposes of God. You're driving your truck. I'm just looking at the audience here. You're flying your planes. You're running your business. But everything comes back to this fulfilling God's purpose in my life. God, help me. Help me to see what you're saying. Help me to hear what you're saying. Help me to live out what you want me to live out. And then somehow life changes. And I get it right sometimes. And it's so amazing to just know you're walking with God and enjoying the walk. And then there's times when you're not. It's like, oh, man. That's when you need prayer at the front of the church. And you're like, God, just restore that joy. Restore that sense of centering my life in you and trusting you with my plans. And so that's what I have for you this morning. Is if you abide in me and I abide in you, let that stick in your head. Can I get $20 for memorizing that scripture this morning? Okay, everybody gets $20. You get a $20. You get a $20. Look under your seat. They're stuck underneath it. No. May we not just hear it this morning, but before we start talking about his practices, what's it like to be with him? What's it like to be like him? That's the question. When I'm doing my life tomorrow, what does that look like to be like Jesus? To walk with him. When my mind wants to take me places. This is a really stupid example, and I am closing. We sold our van when we went to Africa. A whole long story. I didn't want three cars. I wanted only two cars because I didn't want to sell my truck, and I parked it all winter and all this stuff. So we got a little car to replace the truck, and we sold our van when we went away, and we bought another used van. And so I don't usually care much about cars. I used to love them, seriously. But as long as it works, Lori wants a van, Grandma, grandkids, it's fantastic. I had to humble myself and just be a caravan driver guy. It's the best car in the world, by the way, you guys. Just, I see a lot of them out in the parking lot, so I have a lot of influence. I see that. So we got another one, but it has this problem in the rear trailing arm bushing. Does anybody care? But it's loose, and I got to replace it. So I'm laying there two nights ago. You're worried about your friend. I'm worried about this trailing arm bushing. It's like 4 a.m. I'm like, who cares? But I had to get up. There's no use laying in bed thinking about this trailing arm bushing. How am I going to change that thing? And I wrote Brad earlier about getting a press, and he's no good son-in-law. He doesn't have the right size or anything. Nah, bless him. He's fixing half the cars in this church, but he's not fixing mine. No, did that... Was that an outside thought? But I'm just laying, I'm like, Jesus, I don't want to think about a trailing arm bushing right now at 4 a.m. I want to think, see, now you're all thinking about a trailing arm bushing. See? That's how simple it is. But God, I want my mind to be on you, my emotions. And it's so easy to preach this stuff to you guys. It's so easy. But then to bring my thinking, my emotion, my passion, my life back to home, where it belongs, with Jesus. You got to wrestle this. You got to beat these hearts. You got to take control of your mind. You know, renew this mind that I can just think like Jesus thinks, act like Jesus acts, talk like Jesus. You know, it's such an easy preach to you guys. But then we got to get up tomorrow morning. We all got to do it. And so what I'm saying is we need to abide in him. We need to make our home there and then stay there. And then we need to say, Holy Spirit, I need that anointing that the Bible talks about, that power, that equipping, that sense of God's presence, that I'm actually living out what you want me to live out, that I'm actually fulfilling the mandate of God in my life. Amen? And so, I don't know who's here this morning. I don't know if you're saved or not. But when I heard Pete talk about his friend, you know what hit me? Is that in front of this church, more and more, Russell prayed the exact prayer from my heart this morning. It's not about what we do, but we do need to testify. But when I listen to you talk about your friend, we can never back off of sharing Christ, sharing the life of Christ, living that out. And actually, in a church like this, saying, if you don't know Jesus, you need to be saved. You need to cry out to Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you. And we've had a great prayer time for, you know, the situations that are hopeless and friends that are hopeless and the anointing, the need for the strength of God to be evangelists again, to just be bold witnesses. So I'm not going to repeat that, but I'm just saying, folks, let's live that. Whatever your circumstance, whatever hardship, whatever challenge you're living with, find home in Jesus and stay there and live from there. Live from that place. That's just like, man, I'm going to be conscious of Him this morning. I'm going to be conscious of Him in my day. I'm going to, God help me when I'm talking to my wife, to what does Jesus want? So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would equip your saints. You would fill us again with your Holy Spirit. And I pray as this week unfolds, as we meet many times this week with our friends, I pray there will be an impact for families, an impact for lives, an impact for the kingdom of God. Lord, I don't want to just be called a Christian. I want to be a follower of Christ, that when people look at my life, they say, there's a little Christ-like guy. And I pray, Father, that that would be real. I pray that each one of us would sense your anointing this week to fulfill the plans of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, Pete.